Thank you. This is our third broadcast of our present series on the Arab states and prophecy. And again, just by way of a quick review, we are covering this material in three areas. Number one, we are discussing the root of the conflict. Secondly, we are then discussing the perpetual hatred of the Arabs against the Jews. Then thirdly, we are also dealing with the finality and the future of the individual Arab states. Now, so far we have been limiting ourselves to the first area, the root of the conflict. We pointed out that there are two people involved in the root of the conflict, and these two people are Ishmael and Esau. And we are so far dealing with the history of Ishmael. As of last time, we noted that while Hagar was still in a pregnant state, she flees from the house of Abram, but after fleeing, she has a confrontation with the angel of Jehovah, in which he instructed her to go back to the house of Abraham and then submit to them. Also, he stated four things by way of the prophecy of the kind of son that Hagar would have and what would be characteristic of Ishmael's descendants. And so Hagar went back to the house of Abram. In the course of time, she gave birth to Abraham's firstborn son through Hagar, and as God commanded, he was named Ishmael. But also in the process of time, Isaac was born. Now, one of the most joyous times for a family in Abraham's day was the time of the weaning of the son. At the time of the weaning, they threw a great feast. Now, nowadays, today, we throw birthday parties for our children, but they didn't do that back then. They threw weaning parties. And when Isaac was weaned, they threw a feast. And concerning this feast, we come to Genesis chapter 21. Because while the standard procedures for everyone to rejoice at the weaning of a son, there was one person in that household that was not rejoicing. In Genesis chapter 21, verses 8 and 9, we read these words. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne unto Abram, mocking. When Abraham made a feast on the day of the weaning of Isaac, Ishmael, rather than rejoicing over the weaning of his brother, displayed hostility by mocking Isaac. Now, we should not assume, as many of our Bible picture books portray, that here we have a little boy mocking a baby. Ishmael at this point was not a little boy. He was a minimum of 14 years old and perhaps as old as 19 years old, depending on just when the weaning of Isaac took place. He was 14 years old when Isaac was born, and since back in those days the son was weaned as late as 5 years old, then he could have easily been as old as 19 years old when he was mocking baby Isaac. What we see here is the fact that the animosity that Hagar felt for Sarah was now instilled in Ishmael, and he began to act with animosity towards Isaac. And so we can already see the hostility beginning and continuing into the second generation. And now, because of this incident, Ishmael and his mother Hagar were expelled from the household of Abraham in keeping with God's command. And after this expulsion, we read what happens next in Genesis chapter 21, verse 21. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. He began growing up in the deserts and became a roamer of the desert, just as the angel prophesied. When it came time for Ishmael to marry, his mother made sure that his wife was a woman from the same country that she was from, and that was Egypt. And one thing we know very well from Egyptian records is this. The Egyptians, who are Hamites, had a very strong hatred towards anything Semitic or Semites. And so the wife of Ishmael will have that same attitude towards the Semitic side of the family that Hagar already has. Thus Ishmael became one of the fathers of the Arab nations, and the hostility and the animosity was certainly there, and the wife from Egypt would guarantee the continuation of this hostility. Let's go on to the second father of the Arab states, and that is Esau. And the beginning of Esau's hostility is to be found in the book of Genesis chapter 25, verses 27 through 34. And the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a quiet man, or better, a perfect man dwelling in tents. Now Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, and Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob boiled pottage, and Esau came in from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me first thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am about to die, and what profit shall the birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me first," and he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. So Esau despised his birthright. Whereas in the case of Isaac and Ishmael, we have the story of two half-brothers, in the case of Jacob and Esau, we have the story of two full-brothers. Not only full-brothers, but they are twin-brothers. However, Esau was born first, and because he was born first, he had the birthright. And he that had the birthright would be the one through whom the Abrahamic covenant would be sustained. The Abrahamic covenant would be the means that God was going to use in his program towards world redemption. But that would be confirmed only through the one that did have the birthright. And the Abrahamic covenant contained both spiritual as well as physical blessings. Now, Esau is characterized by the one who held the birthright but could care less for it, whereas Jacob is characterized by one who did not have the birthright but wished to be very much in the center of God's will and the center of God's program. The day occurs when this birthright exchanges hands. Now we should not take Esau's words too literally here or too seriously here. Esau makes it sound if he does not get to eat right then and there, he's going to die of starvation. And sometimes preachers picture Jacob as taking unfair advantage of Esau. But we know that the house of Isaac was a very wealthy home, and a very wealthy household. All Esau would have had to do is gone over to the very next tent. He would have gotten sufficient amount to eat, more than he ever needed. But Esau does not want to eat any old thing. He wants to eat that specific thing which Jacob happens to be fixing. And so for one bowl of soup, Esau is more than willing to exchange and sell the birthright, which he does. So in this passage, we see that Esau sold his birthright to Jacob, and so now Jacob possessed the birthright and not Esau. And again, there was nothing deceitful here on Jacob's part. Esau had the right to either keep the birthright and be used by God or to reject it. But Esau's spiritual attitude is clearly seen by the last phrase that Esau despised his birthright. Now in Genesis chapter 27, it is time for the patriarchal blessing. And the patriarchal blessing officially does belong to whoever happens to have the birthright. But this time, apparently, Esau saw that there were physical benefits to the Abrahamic covenant, and suddenly he changes his mind and wants to have it all back. But by now it's too late. And again, Jacob has often been accused in this passage of stealing the patriarchal blessing from Esau. but the opposite is really happening. Remember, Esau sold his birthright, and so now the patriarchal blessing officially and rightfully belongs to Jacob and not Esau. It is not Jacob stealing the patriarchal blessing from Esau, but Esau is trying to steal it from Jacob. The real problem here is not stealing the patriarchal blessing. The real problem here is the same of Abraham in chapter 12 and Sarah in chapter 16, and that is a lapse of faith. What Jacob should have done is simply trust God to work everything out so that he would have the patriarchal blessing. Instead, he takes matters into his own hands and resorts to deceiving his father, and that's where the sin lay, not in stealing the patriarchal blessing. And so, as things turn out, Jacob does get the patriarchal blessing, which does rightfully belong to him. Now later, when Esau realized that his attempt to steal the patriarchal blessing from Jacob failed, we read of his attitude in Genesis chapter 27, verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob." His hatred of his brother was so great that he was ready to kill Jacob. And that animosity towards Jacob will continue from the descendants of Esau to the descendants of Jacob. Now the fathers of the Arab states are Ishmael and Esau, and the root of the conflict began with these two individuals. And just as descendants of Ishmael held animosities against the descendants of Isaac, descendants of Esau would hold animosity against the descendants of Jacob. We shall see what happens after this on our next broadcast. Until then, we bid you shalom.